So I'd like to introduce you to my friend. You might think, why is this her friend?
Wilson.
I have interesting friends. I have an collection of friends. This is my volleyball. His name is Seymour. Everyone, can you say hi to Seymour?
Why does Seymour?
Because it's not Wilson because he doesn't have a hand on it and he's never met Tom Hanks. This is my friend, not Tom Hanks's friend. So can everyone say hi, Seymour?
Hi, Seymour.
Okay, Seymour is going to help us out in a little bit, but I just wanted to introduce him so then when he comes in awkwardly later, you're not like, who's that? This is Seymour, my friend. Okay, so we're going to be nice to Seymour, right? Okay, cool. Okay, so we're actually talking about John 5, 1 through 15. Does anyone know what the passage is about? You can, like, open your Bibles and cheat. What?
Healing at the pool.
Healing at the pool. Awesome. Okay, before we go into this, can someone tell me what the normal, in quotes, pattern is for Jesus healing people? Like, what are some things that you see the more you read it that you kind of expect? There's nothing normal about it. There's not, like, patterns. They're all totally different. Yes, Holly.
He kind of just heals them, and then he forgives their sins.
Okay, so there's a physical healing, and there's a forgiving of sins. Okay, anything else?
He likes to heal on the Sabbath.
He likes to heal on the Sabbath. Good. Anything else intriguing? Does he heal people like the Pharisees? No. Okay, why does he not heal Pharisees? They don't ask? What did I hear in the back? Someone said because they're noobs. Thank you, Lisa. Okay, any other reasons they don't heal Pharisees? I don't know about this couch. It's getting really crowded. I feel like Jim needs someone up here to keep him company. So let's pick George. George!
I'll say.
You're being a sandwich. You're being a George sandwich.
We vote Joaquin.
You vote Joaquin?
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, come on up. You can hang out.
He has a weapon. He has.
I know. That's why I need him up front so I can see when he, like, attacks me. All right, one guy from the couch volunteers. Come on. Isaac's got to pick someone. We're just going to awkwardly wait until they figure this out.
Yeah.
This is going to be an awkward sermon online, by the way. Just waiting. Daniel, Joaquin. Thank you, Harry. I appreciate that. Thank you. Alright.
This couch is uncomfortable anyway. I'm blood crowded.
Okay. So I have a couple of things that are different. There's a couple of things that are different about this healing, so I want you to pay attention. But some of the common things that we've talked about, he likes to heal on the Sabbath, he likes to heal people who ask, and there's usually forgiveness of sin. So those are a couple things. But this is slightly different, so I want you to listen. Seymour is also listening attentively with his non-existent ears. So what we're going to do is actually, we're going to read this passage one verse at a time. We're going to go around, and I would like you to use a funny voice if possible. So I will start with verse 1 in some sort of funny voice, and we'll go to Ethan. Do you need one of those Bible things?
I
have it. Okay, good. Just checking. And then we'll just keep going around the outside, and that we have more than 15 people. So it's chapter 5, John, chapter 5. It's about this far into your Bible. It's the last gospel. I'll give you guys just a... I'll talk slowly while you find it. Okay. Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem.
Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades.
Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed.
One who was there had been invalid for 38 years.
When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?"
"Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me."
Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk."
At once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath.
what the Jew said to the man who had been healed. It is Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed.
I'm not going. Go.
But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?
The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there.
Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you.
The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who made him well.
So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him.
We'll do one more verse.
Joaquin has it for you, so that it's less awkward. 17.
Wait, so the point I say is he needs to come to defense with a second?
Yeah.
In his defense, he said to him, my father is always at his work this very day, and I too am working.
Great. All right. Thank you. Okay, so does anybody notice anything that is similar and different to this story than other healing stories? Joshua.
Sabbath.
Sabbath. Good. He healed on the Sabbath again. Oh, he really likes that. Okay, what else did you guys notice? Okay, so one interesting thing is this man did not seek out Jesus. What was this man doing? Well, he was trying to get in the pool. Really, he was just chilling. Like, I can't get in the pool. Man, this is lame. Literally. That's the original use of lame applied to modern day life. Yeah. Okay. Anything else interesting? Okay. Can someone read verse 4? Let's pick Harry. Can you read verse 4?
4 isn't in the... sub
thing. Oh, there's no 4.
But
okay.
It is here, actually.
Okay, do you want to read the sub thing?
From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. The first one into the pool after each disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had.
Okay, so this is also very curious. Verse 4 is missing in your Bible, in case you guys didn't realize that.
It's at the bottom.
It is at the bottom, but why is it missing out of the Bible? Does anyone have any guesses? Harry.
It's not in some of the original manuscripts.
Right. So originally, the way that the Bible was made, it was in there, and then they realized it wasn't in the original, so they took it back out, and so there is no number 4. But as Harry read, it talks about the pool, because it's kind of weird, right? Like, there's this guy, he's been lame for how many years?
38.
And he's just chilling, waiting. And what is he waiting for? Nothing? He's just bored? Michelange, what is he waiting for? Yeah, he wants to get into the water. He wants to go swimming, right? And the reason he wants to go swimming in this water, or the reason he wants to get to the water, is because supposedly, and he's seen this happen every so often, this pool, like, stirs up, you know, like a jacuzzi. And then he's like, oh my gosh, time for healing. And the first person that gets there gets healed. And he, being lame and, like, just chilling, can't get there by himself. So he's waiting for this. And now you can read it and go, oh, that might be superstition, because that's kind of weird, right? Like, if I saw you waiting by a jacuzzi to get healed, I'd be like, so we should probably talk, because that's not how it works, and this is awkward, and you've been here for 38 years, you're not even 38 years old, so don't do that. But for this guy, there is something real to it, and the older but not original manuscripts say that the angel of the Lord came and healed. So there might be something true to that. He wasn't just like, it wasn't like a magic eight ball that he was just hoping would give him some answer. But this guy didn't demonstrate any faith, right? Like, he was just chilling there, and Jesus is like, hey, you want to get healed? And he's like, I can't. I'm lame. Nobody carries me there. And when they do, I'm not there in time. So did he say, like, Jesus, please heal me? Or like, oh, I know that you are Jesus. Did he even know who Jesus was? Does anyone know? How do we know if he does or does not know Jesus? You can look in the second half. Like verse 12. Joshua?
Because he said he didn't know who he was.
Right, because he said to the Jewish leaders, I don't know who this guy was, he just healed me. Like, why are you questioning me? Okay, so it wasn't like he was like, oh, dear Justin Bieber, please write me a song. I know you are so talented. Which is not true. He did not know who Jesus was. He's not really giving him any faith that he wants Jesus to heal them. And he's desperate, right? He's like, nothing will work. So that's a stupid question. It's kind of like, you know, if you're trying to study for a test, and every time you study, you get a B, or you get a C. Sorry, Seymour. It's like, if you're trying to study for this, and you tried, and you tried, and you tried, and nothing's going to get you that A, and you've given up, and someone's like, hey, do you want an A? And you're like, you think I haven't tried? You think I'm just like chilling here, like, bored? No, I can't. Why? That's a stupid question. Dumb question, Jesus. It's kind of what he's saying, right? But even though he did not show faith, Jesus said, get up and take your bed and walk. So why is that a risk? Why is that risky? Does anyone know? Harry?
It's the Sabbath.
Okay, because it's the Sabbath. And there are these crazy rules, which be thankful that we are not in the Jewish culture back in the day with rules, because this is very difficult. You can't even, like, pick something up because that's work. So these are very logistical, legalistic rules. It's like, you shall not think about, you know, I don't know. It's crazy. And so this guy even just getting healed in their mind frame is a sin. Picking up his mat and walking around is a big deal. So for him to do that is a risk because he's breaking both cultural norm and the Jewish law, right? So it's not just like, okay, we'll see what happens. I'll just get up and walk around. No big deal. So he's willing to take that risk. Okay, so let me ask you a side question. It's about getting attention. So when I was in junior high, there's two forms that I got attention. And some of you guys have known me for a while, know that my parents separated when I was in junior high. And it was a rough time for me. So there are the two primary ways that I got attention outside of the house. The first was with my peer group, other junior hires. And I would do this thing called showing off. And it was very annoying. I thought it was annoying. They thought it was annoying. I did not have a lot of friends because I would, like, brag about stupid things like, I got these concert tickets, I'm so cool. Not in that, like, funny way, in the really annoying way. So that was one way to get attention that was not positive. The other was for my teachers. And what I would do with them is I would, like, do everything they asked and try to get really good grades. And if they'd ask me to do something, I would do it. I wouldn't be like, nah, I'm not going to do that. No, I was not that kid. And so I had a positive way and a negative way of getting attention. So before we get back to this man, I want to ask you, how do you guys get attention? What do you guys do?
Being
like, if you want to be noticed.
Obnoxious.
What is it?
Being loud and obnoxious.
Is that how you get attention, Michelle?
Yeah.
I found that hard to believe. Okay.
Of course.
You know, that might be true. What other ways do you, like, when you feel like you want to be noticed? Like, hello, notice me. I'm in pain, or I need a hug, or life is awesome, I need you to notice me. What do?
I wear this.
You wear a highlight-colored sweater. I do remember when I first saw you in that, and I was like, whoa, Josh was here. Okay, that worked, was effective. What other ways? Just annoying in sweaters? There's no other ways? Lisa? Making funny faces? Raising your hand? Okay. What about at home? What do you do to get attention at home? All right. We'll move on to how Seymour gets attention. He just sits here. He doesn't really get a lot of attention. Actually, he's been in my closet for a long, long time.
He's got such a flat personality.
He does have a flat personality. Thank you for noticing. I know. He's really worked on it, and it's come to nothing. Kind of boring. But this guy, like Seymour, and like all of your great examples that you did not give, is just laying there, right? He's like, I'm not trying to get attention. He wasn't like, hey, Jesus, notice me. He's not like trying to make friends in this passage, at least. Like, hey, can you please, like, okay, so I'll keep you company. I'll tell you jokes if you just sit here so that when the jacuzzi stirs up, you can, you know, he's not doing that. He's just laying there. Like, okay, another year's gone by. I haven't gotten here. So he's not getting attention. And yet, Jesus didn't just walk by. He noticed him. He noticed him and gave him the time of day. He knew what his desire was, and he took care of it. So why do you think Jesus did that? Why did Jesus take care of his desire? Why did he heal him? Michaela, what do you think?
I don't
know. All right, can someone read verse 14 for me? Joanna, could you read verse 14?
Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you're well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you."
Okay. So if someone want to try again, why did Jesus heal him? Holly, thank you.
To let him know that something worse may happen to him if he keeps sinning.
Okay. So he used it to get to the heart. What did Siri say? Maybe she knows why Jesus healed him. Because you guys are awfully quiet. Okay. So it's like this. It's like Seymour. It's as if I went to him and I said, "Hey, I'd actually love it if we could play volleyball, but you're going to have to, like, before we can do that, you're going to have to pump yourself up. Like, could you just inflate yourself with air and then we can go play volleyball?" And I'm staring at him, and what does he do?
Well, you're going to be hitting him the whole time. So.
Yeah, but actually, despite, you know, he's different than humans where he actually enjoys being hit. Don't take that home and try that at home, unless it's with a volleyball, and you don't throw it at someone, unless it's in a volleyball game. Okay, so what is he going to do if I tell him to, like, pump air in himself so he can go play volleyball? Mark?
He's probably not going to do that.
Okay, why is he not going to?
Because he can't. He's a volleyball.
Right, because he can't. He's a volleyball. Thank you. So it's like, Jesus doesn't go up to him and go, "Okay, we can talk about this sin deal, and we can talk about this healing deal, but first, like, get up and walk, and I'm not going to heal you, you're just going to, like, have to fix yourself. Like, get yourself to the pool, then we can be friends." Okay? That's not what Jesus does. Instead, he pumps him up. I'm not going to spend the time to do it right now, but I do have a pump in case you guys want to see how a volleyball is pumped up. It's very riveting. And then he utilizes him, right? And he gives him a choice. Just like Jesus gives us the choice. He gives him the choice to then play volleyball or go back and play with a cactus. Which, how good is that for Seymour if he's just going to, like, hang out with a cactus a lot to play volleyball with a cactus?
It's going to be a short game.
It's going to be a short game. He's going to be back to this normal, lame, deflated, flat personality self. So what I love about this story is that this man who does not want Jesus, who does not, he's focused on this jacuzzi pool, takes a risk on this guy who gives him something, who notices him even though he's not asking for it. And so Jesus poses us that same question. Are we going to take a risk on Jesus in our lives who notices us? We don't need to get better at being Christian. We don't need to get better at school. Love better, judge less, in order for Jesus to know us. He knows us and sees us in our worst. Now, this guy had an advantage to us. He's had 38 years of loneliness and desperation. Why would that be an advantage to us if we had that? Doesn't really sound like it. But why is that an advantage for him? Katie, do you have any ideas? Why is, like, his 38 years of loneliness and desperation an advantage to him?
Jesus'
loneliness? No, the guy. Okay. One of the reasons is because he knows he needs something. And I don't know if you know it. I don't know if you felt lonely before. I don't know if you felt desperate before. But when you feel that way, then you know that you need something different than this world has to offer. And instead of being fixed on this jacuzzi or that grade that will make it better, Jesus is asking, will you take a risk on him? Who sees you? Who notices you? And I know that in the church sometimes we can get really hung up on being better Christians because that's how we get to Jesus, and that's backwards. Jesus comes to us, and then that way, because we love him, do we do things. So don't join the worship team so that you can get closer to Jesus. Let Jesus love you, and then out of thankfulness join. Don't, like, be nice to your parents so that Jesus loves you more. He cannot love you more. I had a friend, I know some of you have heard this, who said, Jesus will love you the same, God will love you the same, if all you do all day is eat M&Ms and sit on your couch. And I said, no, that's not true. And when I thought about it, God is not interested in my productivity, he's interested in my soul. So, this man, this Seymour here, if you will, has to take a risk to let Jesus enter his life. He met him at his, Jesus met him at his lowest point and took a risk on him. And Jesus is asking you, will you do the same? Will you take a risk? Will you let him into your desperation? Will you let him into your loneliness and take a risk on Jesus? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your amazingness. Thank you that we don't need to act up, be annoying. Thank you that we don't have to be perfect to be noticed. Thank you that you see us in our most desperate moments. Thank you that you see us when we awkwardly run into our locker in front of the girl we like, or thank you when you see us when we've just blown up and yelled at our parents. Thank you that you see us when we're happy and excited, and that you are more interested in our souls, in our lives, in our love, than in our activities. And thank you that you're in that. Thank you that we don't have to get better to be with you, that you have paid that price, that you have loved us so much that you just want to love us where we're at. And I do pray that today, that this week, we don't get trapped into thinking, oh, in order to get to Jesus, I have to read my Bible more, I have to do a devotional, but just to let you in, to pray, to love you, to be intrigued by you. Lord, give us that desire, give us that option, and help us take a risk on you. And I do pray you show yourself to us, that you reveal yourself and show that you are in our lives, and help us be thankful for what you've given us. And I do pray. Amen.